Hi, welcome to Denver General. What seems to be the issue?
Well, I drank myself some horse dewormer because Alex Jones did, and now my tummy hurts.
You ate Ivermectin? How long ago did you have it, sir?
I don't remember, but I did eat the whole thing.
Oh, okay. Did you recently test positive for COVID-19?
Nah, COVID ain't real. Who told you that, Biden? What is this, a socialist hotel? I thought it was a hospital. Well, I'm leaving.
Well, sir, I really think you should see a doctor. Your face is turning blue.
I ain't blue. I ain't no goddamn Democrat. Ugh.
Ugh. Oh, not again. Hey, it's me again. Can you send someone else to the lobby? We got another horse dewormer overdose.
Really? That's like the third one this hour. Sure, I'll bring up the cattle wagon.
Thanks. And sorry to keep you waiting. How can I help you, ma'am?
I accidentally stapled this banana into my forehead. Can I have some oxys?
No, next.
Oh.
Next!
Yeah, my boss always demands 110% from us, so I tried carrying 110 boxes at once, and I just fucked up my back. Do I give my workers' comp information to you, or what?
Well, you would have to speak to your employer, sir.
But my employer sent me to you.
Well, we can admit you. Here, just fill out this form and take a seat.
All right, but you're already down to a 3-star review. You better play your cards right if you want to get that back up.
Sure. Next, please. Oh my God, sir, you are bleeding everywhere. What happened to you?
I was excited, and there were some dogs, and I really like them, so there was like five I played, like, I don't know, 10 minutes ago, but I'm allergic to dogs. I forgot about that, but that's not even the bad part. I think I have rabies.
Okay, well, how bad is your pain from a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know. I'm so stressed, and ow. Oh my God, the moon is full. Oh no. I always knew this would happen to me.
Can I get you a napkin? You're kind of drooling a little bit. Oh my God. Oh shit. Oh shit. Hey, we got another werewolf situation down in the lobby. Where's the taser?
Oh, I feel great. I don't think I'll be needing to stay here after all. But I am hungry. Any chance I can eat that passed out guy?
Oh yeah, go for it. We're almost at capacity anyway because of COVID, but he's full of horse dewormer, just so you know.
Great, thanks. And I don't mind that at all. I love horse dewormer. I gotta be careful about parasites now that I'm part dog, you know.
Yeah, you sure do. And have a good evening, sir.
Have a great evening yourself, Ralph.
Another episode of Kiss My Working Class, the podcast where we break down what doesn't work with American work culture and discovers what we can do to make it work. I'm Pat.
And I'm your co-host, Yusuf. Today we're going to be talking about the medical industry, in particular how overworked these workers are.
And there are some real dangers to this. For medical workers, the long hours and the trauma they've endured from the pandemic took a toll on their spirits.
And with the high prevalence of burnout in the industry, this is a concern for all of us because studies have shown that medical errors are more likely to happen when staff are overworked. But before we get into this, let's hear a word from today's sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by fucking cloth masks. Just fucking wear them and make it easier for our nation's medical workers. You cover up every other part of your body, so just fucking cover your mouth while you're at it. No one wants you right up in their face and spitting at them. Was that cool during the pandemic? Was that cool before the pandemic? No. So why would it be cool now? Just wear a mask, please. It's almost Halloween. So get into that spirit and wear a mask. They're currently on clearance everywhere right now. Buy one and wear it. Cover your nose while you're at it. No one wants to see your nose. Yeah, ease up on our hospital workloads and wear masks.
And thank you for today's sponsor. There's really no joke here. Masks. Now. We need them. And we all know that the American medical industry is broken in a lot of ways. But among the biggest issues plaguing the medical field right now, and has even before the pandemic, is burnout.
Recent polls and surveys are showing that nearly a third of medical workers are considering leaving their profession after the past year. This issue, it's been simmering for years before that. The pandemic has just brought the reality to the forefront and kind of been the nail in the coffin.
96% of health workers say burnout is an issue. And of those who said it was an issue, most said it was a major problem in the medical field. That's according to the New England Journal of Medicine. Let that sink in. 96% acknowledge this. And you would expect that this was a recent survey.
But that's not the case. The survey was actually from 2017. And although more attention has been given to the issue, not much has changed. In fact, it's really just gotten worse since the pandemic. According to the Mayo Clinic, some 42% of doctors say they felt symptoms of burnout in 2021, and more than half of those that experienced it worked in critical care. It's about roughly a 7% rise from the previous year.
And what's also worrying is an equal number of doctors who said they felt burnt out also say they were reluctant to seek mental health treatment. So why does that matter to us? Well, in many cases, overworked doctors and medical staff diminishes their ability to provide healthcare for us.
Since hospitals have endured wave after wave of COVID surges, we're starting to see examples of hospitals not being able to deliver the same level of care.
But even before the pandemic, burnout and overworked care staff has led to issues with medical mistakes. According to Johns Hopkins University, medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States, right after heart disease and cancer.
While it's impossible to calculate an exact percentage, so many of these deaths could have been avoided if doctors weren't overwhelmed and overstressed. All these stresses are causing many doctors to either leave the profession, or at least heavily consider leaving it, or to close down their offices. And our nation could soon find ourselves without enough doctors if this continues.
The Association of Medical Colleges estimates that there will be a shortage of about 122,000 doctors in the U.S. by 2032. The average U.S. doctor helps about 2,300 patients, according to MD Magazine. This could potentially lead to millions of people lacking healthcare that they need in the near future. The plain fact is, doctors and healthcare professionals are human beings too. They need to take care of themselves so they can take care of the rest of us. And because we all need healthcare at some points in our life, if we keep overworking them by not taking easy precautions against things like COVID, these trends are only going to get worse for them and for the rest of us.
Hey, Yus, I don't know about you, but all these facts, and it's just really troubling and depressing for me. Do you want to maybe move the show over to the park?
Yeah, let's do it. I'll come pick you up and I'll grab all of our listeners too. I think we could all use just a nice, relaxing trip to the park.
Yeah, toss a frisbee. Have a good time.
Yeah, I have a kite somewhere. It'll be great. Yeah, well, I'll come grab all of you and I'll come swoop you up on the way there, Pat. So hang on a minute.
Righteous.
All right, this looks like a good spot to record a show. There's a guy who's not wearing any pants, but that's fine.
There's a nice shade right there.
Yeah, I heard something earlier about werewolves being out. I don't know what that is, but I think we're good if it's during the day, so.
Science.
You brought some silver with you, right?
Yeah, silver sunscreen.
Okay, good. Actually, perfect.
Silver moonscreen.
Perfect. That should be good then, and just in case, I don't know, I miss something that they can come out during the day, but. You know, this looks like a good spot. The birds are chirping. So let's talk about the medical industry and why, for so long, burnout and overwork culture in this field has just been so prevalent, but little has really been done with it. In particular, let's look at the impact that it's had on workers.
I guess you can kind of compare it to like bro-y startups, like hustle culture, always moving, doing your best, putting in 125% a day.
Yeah, 90-hour weeks. Yeah, work weeks. Yeah.
That's not really the same as like medical jobs where they're literally putting people's lives in their hands.
Right. It's not like your startup technology that you're looking to just sell to Google or Amazon that you're hoping to just work 100 hours a week and sling it to them. I mean, this is people's lives that are in their hands. And a lot of them are routinely working these long weeks where they're pulling up to 80, 90 hours, and it's leading to a lot of burnout and mistakes. And in turn, what's happening is we're seeing, especially because of the COVID pandemic, there's a lesser level of care for patients at times when hospitals have become strained. So we're kind of seeing a lot of these trends sort of come to light in almost nightmarish fashion. But this has been an issue for so long, as we pointed out earlier, almost all people in the industry say that burnout is a huge problem that they face.
Especially probably comparing it to the kind of the mindset that the older doctors, previous generation compared to newer doctors, people of today.
At least back then you could just smoke a cigarette at your desk and I don't know if they're that old actually, but there is kind of this old guard of older doctors in particular who really have pressed to maintain the status quo. And you found some interesting stuff about this.
Basically, there was this test done with surgeon trainees trying to limit their hours to just 80 a week and seeing what
just
that would do.
80? To only 80.
Yeah, right.
From like, what was it, like 100 before or something?
Yeah, I mean, 90, 100. I mean, either way, 80 is still an insane amount. But it's just an attempt that they were trying to do to cut down on medical errors. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the experiment did prove to be successful with cutting down errors, but ultimately it ended up failing in roughly 2/3 of hospitals due to resistance from senior doctors to really implement it, especially on a permanent basis. They have this just kind of attitude that you can't be a good doctor or a good surgeon with only 80 hours a week. That's just not enough time.
That just seems like it's like, well, we did it, so you have to do it too. It's just typical boomer boss shit. And when I was a trainee, we worked 100 hours and we just pumped ourselves full of Adderall and we got it done.
Just kind of like, well, why are we having all the new workers make more money now? I didn't make that when I first started. It's like, well, then let's not do anything to ever improve, make things better.
Yeah, let's just keep things shitty and stressful for people. There was also this part in that study, too, that found that these medical interns and residents who worked 85 hours a week made about 36% more errors than if they just trimmed that down by 20 to, and I don't want to say this, but only 65 hours a week, because it's still a lot of hours, but that's incredible that there's a 36% bump in medical errors.
I'm just thinking like, oh, well, cut it down to 40 and then let's see how even less mistakes will probably end up not being made.
Yeah. I mean, at 80 hours, you don't really have time for anything. So that's about, you'd have about 12 hours off, maybe about 12 and a half off. And that's counting 7 days a week. And I'm assuming you probably need at least a day off. So that's even fewer hours. But if you were working 7 days a week, you'd have about 12 hours and then you'd have about what, 8 hours you need to sleep ideally. So, and let's say you're stretching it and getting like six, that's about 4 or 5 hours a day. That's assuming you're working every day that you would have if you're working an 80 hour schedule. Just sounds like burned out city.
Well, yeah, especially if you're working 12, 16 hours a day, you're going to desperately need 8 hours of sleep. Talked about in our overtime episode of needing both sleep and rest.
Well, science has shown that it's more than 40, and there's a litany of data and studies that show that after 40 hours, it's a diminishing return, but it also has impacts on like your heart, your health, your physical health, and then your mental health as well. You know, if you want to dive more into that in depth, check out our previous episode on overtime. And kind of along the lines of talking about younger doctors and trainees, there's this perception that doctors make a ton of money and they make salaries that are usually six figures after they finish their residencies. But a lot of them take out a ton of debt to go to medical school. And I can see in those first few years, so say you finish your residency, you're got a job at a hospital, you're straddled with $120,000 in medical school debt, you're kind of trapped at that job or in that industry. So if you decide you don't really like it, unless you come from money, you're not going to find an alternative that's going to match that kind of salary that you would need to pay off six-figure debts.
Yeah, you can like become a restaurant manager or something at 40K.
Yeah.
Expect to be able to take down a $250,000 total in medical school debt.
Right. But even like a government gig or something else that a doctor could probably be qualified for, that wouldn't really be able to pay the bills in most cases. I think this speaks to a larger issue about student loan debt and kind of being trapped if you decide, oh, I don't really like this career I trained, went to school for and took on a bunch of debt. And there's really no way for you to get out until you clear that up. And doctors, especially who don't come from privileged backgrounds, and those people are sorely needed in the medical industry. I can imagine that there's some who they just probably feel trapped if they realize this field is not really what they want to do. This has had really dire consequences, too. And just a quick trigger warning, we're going to talk about mental health, so if this is a sensitive issue for you, we just wanted to give you a heads up. But Pat found some pretty dire statistics.
Approximately 300 to 400 doctors die by suicide each year, which is over double the rate of the average American. And the stress that the pandemic has brought on to just kind of exacerbate that even more, and just seeing overwhelmed hospitals and having to turn people away.
This has really shown us a glimpse of what an overstretched healthcare system looks like this past 18, 19 months. You see, a lot of nurses are leaving the profession because they are subjected, especially if they're working in COVID wards, to pure human suffering. COVID is not a pleasant way to die. It's like slowly suffocating.
Yeah, and you just have a society that just does everything it can to really just downplay the severity of it, or just, oh, it's not that likely, especially at your age and health and whatnot.
And this has also led to strains on rural hospitals. A lot of rural hospitals or small community hospitals, they kind of exist to kind of patch people together when they're in car accidents or a heart attack or something that needs to be dealt with immediately. But that's really all they can do for you. They'll stabilize you and follow up and often get transferred to a bigger hospital. The problem that we've seen recently is these bigger hospitals have been full up with COVID patients. So that means if you're in a car crash or have a heart attack and you do live in a rural area, you are not going to be able to get the treatment that you would have 2 years ago because they're not going to be able to take you in. Here's this clip. This is the medical director of Louisiana's largest hospital. At the time last month, they were grappling with, I think, a fourth or fifth surge in coronavirus cases that led to hospitals quickly becoming inundated with patients. So let's take a listen to this clip.
2 weeks ago, we stood here just over 2 weeks ago with 36 COVID-19 patients in the hospital. Today we have 155, which is our max from last April 2020. It doesn't sound like a lot, honestly, when you think about numbers, but we are the largest hospital in the state. We have almost 800 beds. We have 713 people admitted today. And no one diagnosis should take up one quarter of your hospital. It doesn't happen. It's not imaginable, except for now, and we can't tolerate it because it's putting an incredible pressure on the rest of our patients and our hospital staff. When I left the hospital earlier, there were 23 patients on the board waiting for a transfer into our hospital for an ICU bed. But you look at every single one of those ICU beds and you spend all day trying to figure out how you can staff another one. Those are 23 people sitting in an ER somewhere. Many of those ERs are attached to a hospital that does not have a critical care doctor or a subspecialty cardiologist or a subspecialty surgeon. You have people with chest pain sitting in an ER right now where their families sit in the waiting room and they are wringing their hands and they're calling everybody they know. Do you know somebody who works at the lake? Can they get me in? Do you know somebody who works at Ochsner? Can they get me in? And they will do that for days. And that patient will lose muscle. They will lose years of their life, but they will stay in that ER because there are no more beds left.
So that's pretty stark, isn't it? She's basically saying, if you are in a car accident or something, good luck. People are looking for hookups like, hey man, do you know anyone? Do you know anyone who works here that can get me in, to get me into the hospital? I need to see somebody right now. That is not how our healthcare system should work.
Yeah, it can't be like, hey man, you work at Wendy's. Can you give me some like extra fries for free after your shift's done? can you take a look at my broken arm, man?
There's this really sad story recently about that guy in Alabama who had been turned away from about 40 hospitals.
I can't even imagine trying to find 40 hospitals, like how much of a wide diameter really that is of looking for trying to get help.
He was looking all around the Gulf Coast, and that was 43 ICUs that he would try to go to that were at capacity and they had to turn him away, according to his family.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine having to call an ambulance and driving for 14 hours to the closest hospital?
Yeah, and people don't realize this because we're a very pragmatic culture, and if it doesn't affect us now, then fuck it. But these are some really serious problems that have been simmering for a long time, even before COVID. And if we don't do something about it, we are going to see huge consequences.
God, I don't know. It's just This is a lot of really depressing stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, it's unfortunately just the reality that a lot of healthcare workers face and the impacts that it has on us.
Well, it's getting a little late. I heard earlier that apparently there was a werewolf that escaped from a hospital in Denver earlier, which is kind of close to us, so...
Yeah,
I don't know. Here. Do you maybe want to just go get a drink at the bar, watch the news?
Yeah, not that the news is all that uplifting, but yeah, I heard there's a new show on that's pretty cool. It's something about Workhorse Action News. It sounds pretty cool. I thought I'd check it out. But yeah, y'all come with us. We'll grab a drink, we'll watch the news, and we'll keep talking.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat from Kiss My Working Class, the podcast. And are you interested in supporting our show and looking cool while doing so? Well, you are definitely going to want to check out the official Kiss My Working Class merch booth. We have so many awesome items available for sale, including t-shirts, glasses, mugs, posters, stickers. We even got some fanny packs for all you retro fans out there and more. And be sure also to check back often for occasional limited time offered products that will be available nowhere else. Thank you so much for listening to Kiss My Working Class, a podcast, and have a great day.
Tonight, if you want to come to America, you best be vaccinated.
Plus, will woolly mammoths soon roam in your backyard?
Workhorse Action News starts now. Our top story tonight, fast food giant Taco Bell has begun a trial run of a new monthly subscription service in Arizona. The program, which many people are dubbing the Netflix of tacos, allows subscribers to receive one taco a day for 30 days from a variety of flavors that will change daily. So why don't we open up our panel to discuss this very important development in our nation. And we're joined tonight by President Joe Biden. Mr. President, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Sorry I'm a few minutes late.
It's okay, Mr. President. You're actually just on time, but we are live.
I didn't know.
President Biden, what are your thoughts on this latest development with Taco Bell and the impacts that this might have?
It's long overdue. I'm not out to punish anyone. I'm a capitalist. If you can make a million or $1 billion, that's great. God bless you. All I'm asking is you pay your fair share.
Well, in other news from the White House, foreign nationals will soon be allowed to travel to what's left of the United States starting this November. The Biden administration signed an order doing away with a hodgepodge of travel restrictions that were held over from the Trump administration. The new rules would allow foreign travel to the U.S. as long as they are vaccinated and tested for COVID-19 before boarding planes. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is this show's arch-villain, immediately chastised the order as anti-Floridian. He said if Europeans want to come to Disney World, they better stay in our overwhelmed hospitals too while they're at it.
In the latest in the ongoing billionaire space race, a group of amateur astronauts, mostly from wealthy backgrounds, orbited the Earth for 3 days aboard a SpaceX rocket. Despite questions whether the space race is actually a P&L measurement competition among the Earth's richest, SpaceX founder Elon Musk discounted those claims. He told WAN in an exclusive interview that he is testing the rockets to send coal miners into space. He plans to use them to extract material for his automated toilet plunger.
Also, does Jurassic Park have a Kickstarter? Not exactly. But tech entrepreneur Ben Lamb and Harvard geneticist George Church recently announced their startup company Colossal. The duo collected $15 million in startup money through investors and the sale of their previous startups. They believe they can recreate the woolly mammoth in 6 years by genetically engineering endangered Asian elephants to withstand freezing Arctic temperatures. When asked about the short time frame, Lamb and Church say that they have to rush the project before the Arctic melts.
After ensuring that they were not the same stupid PR stunt as Jurassic World 3, they're also on a time crunch for the release of the Cool Ranch Mammoth Taco for Taco Bell's subscription service.
Is there a trade secret about what's inside that patty?
No, Mr. President, it's a taco. A taco. It's made out of mammoths. Some employers are finally doing away with drug tests for workers because of the labor shortage. It seems companies have realized that drug tests are not only a waste of time, but also a waste of money. And since many companies love money, several have done away with drug testing in recent weeks.
Walmart says employees can only come to work stoned off the productivity-inducing sativa strains. Indica strains are, however, banned.
Mr. President, your thoughts?
The rules are the rules, and everybody knows that the rules were going in.
And finally, the Biden administration has recently announced a new mandate to help counteract the growing rates of COVID infections.
businesses with 100 or more workers will soon be required to have their workforce to either be vaccinated or to have the workers provide a negative COVID test result weekly. The mandate will also require companies to give paid time off for workers to get a vaccine shot.
Mr. President, since we have you on our show today, are you concerned that this mandate may have an indirect impact on the labor shortage and medical and... Mr. President? President Biden? Joe?
Is he sleeping? Can someone give me the vice president's office to bring over the cot? I think all the excitement got him all tuckered out.
Hey, did someone call for a cot?
Yeah, it's him over there. What a tired little president. Bless his heart.
And that's all the time we have for Workhorse Action News, Facts That Give a Fuck. And coming up next, the Dumb Job Post of the Week. Welcome to the Dumb Job Post of the Week. Dumb Job Post of the Week is sponsored by Baby Boomer Bosses, the new reality show on Fox. Tonight on Baby Boomer Bosses, Lawrence, a hospital executive from Florida, is facing elimination. If he wants to stay in the competition, he must pitch his concept for forcing staff to work 18-hour days, 8 days a week at his hospital. Let's listen in.
All right, everyone. I have an easy solution for this. All we have to do is not change a thing at this hospital.
Not change a thing? How is that going to work? And I need to remind you, Lawrence, you are facing elimination this round.
Well, you see, doctors at our facility usually work 18 hours anyway, and the nurses pretty much do too. I make sure to hire people with crippling student debt, so they really have no choice but to stay. And since we're the only hospital around, they have no choice but to work here.
But are they really going to be able to do their jobs right if they're hardly sleeping? I mean, I'm a diehard capitalist, but even I think this is wrong.
Well, you don't need to worry about that. I'll also throw in the typical boomer boss trolls, like constantly reminding him how long I've worked in the industry, even though times have changed, but I haven't, and how I used to work around the clock, even though I actually worked a few hours in them.
Well, that will work. Congratulations, Lawrence. You are through to the second round. And tune in next week to Baby Boomer Bosses, the most hated and loved show in America.
All right. Thanks once again to our sponsor. And without further ado, the Dumb Job Post of the Week belongs to Oracle Consulting.
Oracle Consulting, or Burleson Consulting, it's like his website is doing business as Oracle. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Typical boomer boss shit. But he has a lot of things on here on his site about dress codes and the requirements he has for people who work with him. And they're pretty dumb and potentially illegal.
It's not even an exact job posting. It's just basically the dress code once you're hired on.
He has some okay points, I guess, that people are supposed to be well-groomed and hygienic. Yes.
Fresh haircut, some spit-shine shoes, and a crisp suit will go a long way to establish your professional demeanor.
Sure. But here's where it gets dumb. He has on here pictures, too, of his examples. He doesn't want anyone with unibrows, or no Neanderthal-style unibrows are allowed. And then he also, he starts getting pretty misogynistic. In fact, he says, I don't mean to be a chauvinist, but, and then proceeds to be a chauvinist. It requires women to shave any facial hair, requires them to shave if they have armpit hair, things like that, which is really none of your fucking business. As you scroll down, it just gets more and more dumb.
No facial hair, please, ladies. Like, okay.
And not only does he start, you know, telling women what they need to wear, no pants, they can only wear blouses. He starts getting into some pretty sensitive cultural shit where he's putting in here things like no oriental style hats, and it's like the stereotypical straw hat, no sombreros, no. He also says on here that when representing Burleson Consulting, it is not acceptable to wear any cultural or religious garments that may offend a client. And he has another page here where he goes into it a little more, but he says that if somebody was Sikh or Muslim and they needed to wear or wanted to wear, because it's their fucking choice, and also protected that you're allowed to wear these things. But he says that if it offends the clients and the clients come first, which kind of leads me to think, what kind of clients does this guy fucking have? Like, why would you want to do business with this guy?
One sentence I kind of notice up the top here. It's kind of back to the hair, but like, please, no Trump style comb overs. So it's like, well, you seem to now be kind of cutting off your your clientele there.
It's just funny because he's saying all these things for professionalism, and on his job requirement things, he wants people who graduated from a top tier college or an Ivy League school, and all these demands of, you know, requirements if you want the privilege of working with him. And then he has this real unprofessional shit. So like at the very bottom of his dress code page, he has this thing where it's like, at my place, we don't have a dress code. There's absolutely no dress code, whatever. And it's just a picture of him on his fat ass, like smoking a cigarette in his home office. And he also mentions too that a comment that he, I don't know, hypothetical comment that he probably got, but also probably gets for real, is, you are a sexist pig making women wear skirts. How dare you impose these dress standards? And he says, actually, I don't set the standards. The clients do. You must conform to the dress code to enter client site. And it's not just women. I worked at a bank where employees could not have long hair, beards, and you'd be reprimanded for wearing a non-white shirt. My headquarters, there is no, absolutely no dress code whatsoever. And he has that. He also has a picture of like him calling for like a redneck airline that serves rednecks and has a picture of a Confederate flag on it. Why would you want to work for this guy? Why would you want to work with this guy?
I mean, unfortunately, money.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think you can do better. I think you all could do better. Anyway, this has been the Dumb Job Post of the Week, sponsored by Baby Boomer Bosses, the new reality show on Fox. And if you see a dumb job post, feel free to send it to us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other usual suspects. Thanks again for tuning in to the Dumb Job Post of the Week. And now, back to the show.
If you enjoy Kiss My Working Class and want to help us make work, well, work for workers, then head on over to our Patreon page. For only $7 a month, you'll have access to a variety of bonus material not available anywhere else, including early episode access, behind-the-scenes material, a private Discord community, and more. And the more subscribers that join, the more bonus rewards will be available at no extra cost, including monthly live streams, exclusive episodes, a monthly discount code toward official merchandise, and more. So pay your union dues and be part of something that works for you. Thanks, and back to the show.
Oh, welcome back to the show. This bar is hopping, and I'm really disappointed that the news didn't talk about the werewolf on the loose, Pat. We gotta be careful.
Well, I'm sure it's just breaking news. I mean, you gotta give them a little bit of time. I mean, you've seen the horror movies. It takes forever for the media and the police to react to it.
Yeah, and usually it's like some bumbling sheriff who doesn't know what to do. Anyway, so I hope we're safe in this bar. It looks pretty secure. There's a lot of people here, though, so it might be a buffet soon. But we're continuing our discussion on the healthcare industry and in particular worker burnout. And we've laid out a lot of the issues of how this has impacted people working in the field, but we want to go a little more into how this impacts us and has a lot more serious impacts for the rest of society.
Mm-hmm. The general public that they're caring for.
It's had inadvertent impacts too. Let's look at the opioid epidemic, for example. And I need to preface this that it's not 100% the fault of busy doctors. And there's a lot of shady doctors at these for-profit pain clinics and big pharma and just, just shadiness all around with it. There's a lot of blame to throw around for the opioid crisis in this country, but a part of it has been busy doctors.
Kind of prescribing painkillers like, here's a magic happy pill that'll make it all better. I don't have time for further checking back in on you or doing other forms of trying to help you get through the pain.
They have like 5 minutes with a patient and the patient is in pain. Prescribing them something like opioids is going to alleviate the pain or help them manage, but it might not be a good long-term solution. In fact, it might make things worse.
A lot of these cases, they should have not been prescribed these various drugs.
it's leading to potential distrust in the medical industry. And it, you see things like
the opioid epidemic
has really eroded a lot of that trust, and especially within communities of color, because medical bias is a very real thing and very well documented. If predictions of doctor shortages are right, that we're going to be about 120,000 doctors short within the next 15 years or so, it's going to lead to more mistakes, which is going to fuel distrust, which is going to be this real vicious cycle, I fear. And especially with communities of color that are disenfranchised from the healthcare industry because they have not historically received the same level of care. And this is just going to fuel that. And then you have problems with people think that they're fucking experts and they can diagnose themselves because they have Facebook and
WebMD.
Yeah.
You know, my yoga teacher in the mommies group at the yoga class.
Yeah, real good shit. I mean, not that you shouldn't question a doctor every now and then. I don't know if your doctor is maybe like, here, some Percocets. You might, I don't know if you're in a position to be like, no, I don't really want to take those. Do I have other options? I mean, I think things like that are fine, but there's kind of this idea of this, there's a book about this called The Death of Expertise. And essentially it was just kind of how information is so widely available that people tend to challenge more people in authority that have had training. And I'm all for questioning authority, but if my eye doctor says, if you don't take your contacts out at night and you keep falling asleep with them, you're going to have eye problems later. And I'm like, oh no, I heard that that's all bullshit. It's just part of a conspiracy to make me buy more contact lenses. I mean, that's a lot of the way. I mean, people are eating horse dewormer right now.
These doctors don't know what they're talking about. They're changing their minds about things all the time. It's like, this didn't even really exist 2 years ago for the very most part. We're learning as we go. It's just science. It's just a scientific method, you know, just trying things. And, you know, if they get it wrong, you think they don't know what they're doing about. Sure.
Yeah. The more mistakes, the more distress. It's a vicious cycle. I get that surgeons have to sometimes drop everything, their personal lives, and come in and do a surgery or deliver a baby or whatever, because that's just the reality. But there's that saying, I think, after you're awake for 24 hours, because some doctors do work more than 24 hours. After you're awake for 24 hours, it's similar to having a blood alcohol level of 0.1. So you're above the legal limit to drive. Is that the question you want to ask your doctor when you come in? Like, how long have you been awake, ma'am?
Yeah, can you touch your nose? Can you say the alphabet backwards? Are you able to perform surgery today?
You can give your doctor a sobriety test before you get to it. And I don't know if you're like wiped out from a car crash or something. I don't know if you're going to have that luxury of being able to do that. But
well, yeah, it's like, well, you can't operate heavy machinery while you're drunk. But, you know, life-saving heart surgery, go for it. We demand it of you.
It's human nature. You're going to make mistakes when you've been up. I can't function after I've been up for 18 hours. And I would argue, too, that with more mistakes comes higher bills for all of us, because doctors all need to carry insurance for medical malpractice and things like that. So more mistakes means
higher bills, you know, to pay off those insurance premiums going up.
We've seen that the burnout and stress from the pandemic is leading a good amount of healthcare workers to leave the industry for good. And I really question if it's making it so it's not as lucrative to enter.
I wouldn't suggest it. Yeah, it's just kind of like a mother, father, just stereotype of, oh, you got to go to school, become a doctor and a lawyer, doctor and a lawyer, doctor, doctor. Like, I don't know if you want to become a doctor.
I mean, if you want to become a doctor, yeah, become a doctor. And I think colleges really don't touch on this a lot. They don't show you the reality. Yeah, that, hey, you are going to be, if you sign up for this, you are going to not have much of a life, especially early on, especially if you want to go into things like emergency care. It's going to be high impact, high stress. Are you the kind of person that can do this?
It kind of reminds me of mortuary science a lot. I think a lot of those students tend to be first year, first semester dropouts because they didn't realize that they just couldn't handle the squeamishness of dealing with like corpses.
Yeah. That, and also there's a lot of gruesome shit and traumatic stories that you're going to endure day after day.
And it's no end in sight, and they're just getting burnt out. But this is not like a factory where I stuff snack cakes in boxes. You can't not care about your job and just take the path of least resistance and just kind of, I'm just going to get through today and do whatever and half-ass
it. No, it might be somebody's life and nobody wants that. And I would think that you would feel pretty terrible yourself if you're just so burnt out that you feel like you're not able to care for people. So I think the solution is to take the pressure off of medical workers. And we can start right now by just wearing masks and taking COVID seriously. Get vaccinated if you can, because we might not have much of a medical industry left if we keep straining our healthcare system to the breaking point. And nobody wants that. It's, I guess it's about last call here at the bar. So we're going to try to get out of here. And do you hear something?
Hear what? I don't hear anything. Oh, shit. God, it's a full moon, too. God damn it.
Well, yeah, we got to get out of here. And it's last call anyway, so I'm going to pay everyone's tab, and we're going to...
We got to get out of here, man. I hear the wolf coming.
So really quick, we got to get out of here. And thanks again for tuning in to Kiss My Working Class. Please show your support by turning on our Patreon. We're running a special right now for our first 100 patrons at only $1. And, oh, fuck. Shit. Door is buckling. We gotta get out of here. So thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Kiss My Working Class. I hope you learned a lot about the medical industry and the things that you can do to help. Oh shit, he's coming through the door. Don't you have a gun in this bar? All right, we gotta get out of here. Thanks again. Peace.